Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's guest speaker will be Trev Alberts, newly appointed athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. The topic of his talk will be the future of UNO athletics. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, July 16, 2009, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today it is with pleasure that I welcome the new athletic director at UNO, Trev Alberts, to our noon forum. Trev Alberts is a former Nebraska football All-American and television analyst who was selected as the new athletic director at UNO this past April. When the announcement was made, some people said, yeah, nice guy and everything, but does he really know anything about running a college sports program? He has had no experience, but then he hired a championship caliber hockey coach, and that kind of talk has been muted substantially. There is paper and pencil at your tables. Please write down any questions that you might have, and somebody will come around to pick them up so that we can have a question and answer session the last part of the program. So with that, join me in welcoming Trev Alberts.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Gary, your kind words. I still don't have much experience. Got 9 weeks now. But it's an honor for me to be here, and I will tell you that I got this really nice release about the future of UNO athletics, and one of the questions says, what place will UNO hold in the Omaha sports landscape? I don't know. So we're all done. So thanks for being here. No idea. It was interesting when I looked at this and started to think about a little bit some of the ideas about what maybe we would share with you. I think that's sort of the point of where we are with UNO athletics right now. It's that very question. The question is, what place will UNO hold in the Omaha sports landscape? That's what we're trying to define. And I think what's interesting is I've been on this job now 9 or 10 weeks, whatever it's been. It's been a little bit exhausting, but one thing that's become abundantly clear to me is that this community really wants Omaha, and they want UNO to be strong and vibrant. They realize the value that UNO has in this community, not only on the academic side of the house. And I think that the Chancellor Christensen and others have done a great job of helping UNO achieve unprecedented success on the academic side. It's now our job as an athletic department to hurry up and join what's happening in a positive sense on the other side and to do our part. I'm a strong believer in athletics. I believe that athletics is the avenue that produces smart, competitive, driven leaders. I will be the first to tell you that athletics doesn't always produce smart, driven, competitive leaders, but you have that capability. That's sort of the point. And so what we're trying to do now, and a lot of has been made about some of the changes that we've chosen to make, and I will consistently say we. This isn't about me or one person. We have a terrific staff at UNO, and we are full of hardworking folks who care deeply about UNO and this community and who are committed to doing the best job that they can each and every day. But that's exactly the point where we are now. We knew we'd have some initial energy. I played football at Nebraska, big deal. It was 30 years ago or whatever it was. Nobody cares. But it still was a novel idea. Guy had never been an athletic director before. Wow, this is kind of interesting. Typical UNO. What are they doing? They have no concept of what they're doing. When Chancellor Christensen hired me, I promised him two things, and that was integrity and hard work. That's all I have. And that's all that my parents raised me with. I was born in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Spent most of my young life out on a farm, and I learned that simple perseverance and dedication, determination, and some hard work, you can accomplish pretty much about anything that you want. So when we came to UNO, we realized that it was an athletic department whose morale could not possibly be any lower. I had no experience with anything other than Division I athletics, and specifically the University of Nebraska, where it was a family, where it was a team, where it was we, not I, where it was a community team that people felt like they could see, touch, and feel and be a part of. And unfortunately for our coaches, they endured a period of time where, because of a lack of leadership and I think an overall lack of effort, in my opinion, they literally were each individually their own athletic department. And I don't fault them at all. They had to do it. They were trying merely to survive. Okay? So we had each individual coach, door closed, blinds closed, just fighting to survive. And so I realized that right away we needed to find a way to bring some morale back, to give some hope, to create a belief system. And, you know, I know about culture and history and tradition and how important that is to an institution. And I learned very quickly that UNO also has a very proud culture, history, and tradition that we can build on. We've made some changes. We tried to bring our community together. We started with our hockey program. I'm not just all about hockey. I love hockey. I'm learning to love hockey. But I'm the athletic director of all of our sports. We're a leader nationally, in my opinion, in women's athletics. It's going to be a focal point of what we do going forward. I'll get into that in a little bit. But I realized that having one Division I sport was vitally important to us, and finding a way to leverage that sport to help the rest of our programs have the financial stability that we need to compete. I realized very quickly that there were some in our community who felt that Mike Kemp's time had sort of run its course as a coach. There were others who felt strongly that Mike Kemp was the guy that needed to lead us. I learned very quickly that Mike Kemp needed to be a part of our athletic department for a long time, because Mike is obviously second to none in terms of knowledge and understanding about the whole the history and the culture and the tradition of UNO hockey. He, along with Mr. Leahy, who built this program, Del Weber. And so in moving Mike and having a chance to hire a new coach and establish a culture of excellence was important to me. So we made some initial changes. We feel like we've done literally everything we can possibly do in the short term. Look at the how we did business in hockey. Create some enthusiasm, some excitement. We have a new poster that'll be out shortly. We call it Omaha's Power Play. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it gives me chills every time I look at it when I see Dean Blaze in the middle. And I've got Mike Hastings up here, Nick Four here. Well, it's backwards for you guys, sorry. And I'm not good enough to do it backwards. And then Mr. Leahy and Mike Kemp, I'm telling you folks, we have, and I say this humbly, we have the best hockey coaching staff in America, period, at the college Division I level. And we feel like we're establishing a culture of excellence within our hockey program. We are committed to hockey. We are committed to reinvesting and investing in hockey to make sure that hockey is successful so that we can be successful. What I mentioned about defining our future, I think, is sort of where we are now as an athletic department. What is our niche? Clearly, all of us are well aware of Creighton, University of Nebraska, and Lincoln. It is not our intention at all to do anything to disrupt or be a negative partner with either Nebraska and Lincoln or Creighton. But I think in the past, UNO maybe had a mentality of thinking about themselves that, well, we're just UNO. And what I can assure you is I don't understand that way of thinking, and we will no longer ever apologize for being UNO. I'm pretty proud to work at UNO, and I'm proud of the people that work with me every day. And so rather than saying, well, we can't compete with Nebraska football and we can't compete with Creighton basketball, we don't want to. We want to compete with ourselves, and we want to build a culture of excellence at UNO. What is it? What is our niche? How do we define it? How do we grow? Status quo doesn't sell in this town. There's one thing I've learned about Omaha and Nebraska. You don't have to win every time. But if the fans and the folks in the community aren't convinced that you're making tangible efforts and steps at competing at the highest level, they're not going to support you. And I wouldn't expect you to support us. I wouldn't support us if I was you. And so what our job is to find a way to create a culture of excellence that the community, not just in Omaha, but surrounding areas, the state, and even broader, as we try to establish a national brand that people can buy into. These aren't definitive, but some of the things that we think we can do, and I think have never been done at our level and we've never leveraged, is we're trying to focus on a vision of outcomes. And a lot of the stuff that I'm sharing with you, quite frankly, isn't my original thought. What I've chosen to do, and what's been exhausting but exhilarating at the same time, is I've gotten in front of as many people in this town as I possibly could. And it isn't all about physical resources. It isn't all about money. It's about intellectual resources. It's about ideas. It's about people who every day of their life market at the highest level. If the marketing director at Mutual of Omaha is willing to sit down and help us, don't you think we ought to take that call? In the past, we haven't done that. Okay. Now, I will also tell you that there are ideas that are falling through the cracks. There are great things that we could and should be doing that we simply can't do right now. We have to make difficult decisions every single day because we haven't built our program to the place that we need to be to actually make the decisions we all know that we need to eventually make, if that makes any sense at all. Okay? I'm a huge believer in the student-athlete experience. Short term, there's difficult business decisions that sometimes cloud the student-athlete experience, if you know what I'm saying. We'll get there. We'll get through this first hockey season here. We're going to get there, I promise you. But what we're thinking about doing right now is we believe that UNO is so uniquely positioned to literally start and be a part of leadership and a leadership academy. What we envision is an athletic department that partners with this community. I think the Peter Kiewit Institute and Mammal Hall, our new business college, are perfect examples. What they've chosen to do is say, how can we partner with this community? How can we produce the outcomes that this town needs for the future leaders? Okay? Well, why would I try to come up with some new idea? Why wouldn't I learn from a brilliant and very successful idea? So, quite frankly, if you're an engineering student in the world now, what we've been able to do on the academic side is you say, okay, MIT, you're going down the list. UNO's on the list of the top engineering schools. That's the same thought with our new business college. Okay? So, what I want to do is I want to replicate that from the athletics perspective. What I want to do is have a vision of outcomes in the sense that we produce smart, intelligent, driven, competitive kids. Okay? Not just hockey players, but kids, period. These are local kids. These are kids who grow up in our community. 70-some percent of our kids, when they graduate, they don't leave. They stay here, and they go back to Mutual of Omaha and First National Bank and all the other great institutions, and they become part of this community. So we have a vision of leadership, and we have a vision of life skills. None of our competitors, any of them, have Omaha. We've never leveraged Omaha. We've never said, young man, young woman, we're not going to recruit them anymore. We're recruiting mom and dad. Because, you know, we can look in the eyes of these parents and say, if your young daughter or young son comes to Omaha, we're going to make the commitment to get them exposed to corporate Omaha, internships. Get them exposed to. I can show you Chris Denny. I can show you a number of kids who've played football. They actually played in the NFL for a year or two. Came back, but because they had exposure to this community, Chris Denny now works at Mutual of Omaha, and he's well-positioned. It's a life's decision. So what I think we can sell is a leadership academy. I think this community is all about developing leaders. Nobody else is doing it. Don't tell anybody about it, because we want to do it. Because they'll grab it, I'm telling you. But I think we can partner with this community and have them help us, help our kids develop leadership abilities and a life skills program that none of our competitors can have. Now, that's great. But what do you have to become? What do you have to do to produce those outcomes? Do you know that in the state of Nebraska, we were able to capture 4 football players last year? 4. Because currently, we don't offer a culture of excellence. Okay? other schools are able to offer a culture of excellence that we can't match. So what we need to do is we need to find a way to build our athletic department in order to produce the sort of outcomes that we all want, and that's kids who come from this community, stay here and work here, and are developed athletically, academically, socially, spiritually, leadership qualities, everything, the total student athlete who stays here and goes back into our community. We need to, A, have the resources. We need to have the buildings. We need to have all of the things that attract those kids to come here. So ultimately, brick and mortar is important. But you don't sell the brick and mortar. You sell the outcomes. What they've done on the academic side is they've sold the outcomes. But you can't produce the greatest. I'm telling you now, when kids from across America come to Omaha to go to the Peter Kiewit Institute, part of it is the bricks and mortar. If they didn't have the bricks and mortar, they're not coming. So we're going to partner with the university. We're going to do a better job of communicating in the community about who we are and what we're doing. I've challenged all of our coaches to understand that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be on top of the mountains. I'll speak at everything they let me speak at. I'm going to tell our story. But I will also tell you that with increased visibility comes increased scrutiny, and that's okay. Hold us accountable. But I just want to share with you, I bet most of you didn't know this. This just came across my desk. UNO's team GPA spring 2009. I'm not making this up. I know I have a tendency to embellish a little bit. This actually, nobody knows this. I didn't know it. Okay, we have 342 student athletes. Our cumulative GPA in the spring was just under a 3.2. Of our 342 student athletes, 122 of them are on the dean's list. That's a 3.5 or higher. 31 of our 342 student athletes are on the chancellor's list. That's a 4.0. So 31 of our kids. Perfect. Our volleyball team has 15 student athletes on their team, and they're 100%, 15 of 15 on the dean's list. It's an unbelievable story. We're producing kids that are remarkable. And it isn't just us. It's this community, okay? So we've tried to get out. We're trying to get out and tell our story. We started the Maverick Road Show. I'm a little bit tired. We were in Fremont for 5 hours yesterday, and I brought 17 coaches, their wives. We had 17 folks from UNO. And we just went out and started meeting people. And we were at a bank over there, and we had two different dinners. And, I mean, it was crazy. But it was one of the greatest things. Our coaches were there, and we introduced ourselves to Fremont. It's only 25 miles. Come on down. Check us out. And I'm introducing the coaches, and everybody asked me, well, why did you take this job? I mean, geez, it's a, you're going to work five times as hard. And, well, first of all, people told me that it wouldn't work. So that's the main reason why I took the job. But secondly, it's because I started reading the bios of our coaches. And again, last night, I wish I would have brought it with me. It's unbelievable. I mean, even Dean Blaze stood up at the end and said, well, he didn't really stand up. He kind of hobbled up with his knee. But he stood up and he said, geez, this is a lot of pressure on us. I mean, there wasn't a coach who we introduced that hadn't won a national championship or who didn't play for the national championship or who hadn't been in the NCAA tournament for the last five straight years. I mean, it is remarkable what our coaches, who are so committed to this university, who we ask so much of, who could easily go elsewhere, but because they love this community, love these kids, they stay. And they've done it in spite of, as Coach Denny pointed out, in his 30 years as the head wrestling coach here, he's had 14 athletic directors in 30 years. 30 years, 14 athletic directors. So if I make 2 years, I'm average, baby. But I hope I'm not average. I hope we're not average. We don't necessarily have the answers yet about what our niche is. We're studying it. We're trying to figure it out. We think we have a pretty good idea. We still think we're Omaha's team. We want to be a place where people feel like they're intimately involved. They understand what we're doing. At the same time, I'm committed to trying to build this culture of excellence. We need to do a better job of working with Lincoln. I've met, obviously, with Coach Osborne. I've had lunch with Bruce Rasmussen. All of us have our thing. It's my job to push UNO's thing, okay? And I'm certainly willing to do that. But I think we can make some powerful statements together that a strong UNO is really good for Lincoln, and it's really good for Creighton. A strong Creighton is good for us. It's accountability. It's, you know what? You can get lazy if you're not careful. I mean, it's accountability. You have to work. And we intend to make those people work a little bit. So we have a great staff, dedicated staff. We are not where we need to be. We are working every day to get there. There are things that you all probably can see on the periphery, and you say to yourselves, well, why aren't they doing this? We just want you to know, we know that we ought to be doing that. We just can't right now. We're taking steps to try to get there to do those sort of things. But we've started with our hockey program, and I think as we continue to see this thing through, we'll continue to inject some energy and some excitement into some of our programs. So what I would like to do next is I would like to study – for instance, I've met with Bill Swanson. I know Jeremy knows him. Bill Swanson is our works in our MBA program, our executive MBA program. And one of the things that Bruce told me that he did early on in terms of creating the belief was they hired a consultant to come in and study the impact that athletics has on the campus as a whole. Because quite frankly, there are, and I understand it, that you know, if athletics isn't your thing, there's a lot of people who think that, you know, why do we even mess around with sports? You know, we're wasting our time. And well, they did that study and realized that, wow, I mean, had a huge impact on their campus. Kids who were getting a $1,000 scholarship to play tennis, and they asked them, well, would you have come to Creighton if you didn't get that scholarship? And they said, well, no, why would I go there? I like to play tennis. Well, $1,000 doesn't cover the tuition. You're still getting 14 other $1,000, right? Or whatever it is at Creighton nowadays. So the point is, there's value there. And there's the national brand. The national brand of the Mavericks, the logo, selling UNO, selling Omaha. That's, I think, what we can do better. We've gotten more publicity and press for UNO in the last about 5 weeks, 6 weeks than we've probably had in a long time. And I think athletics, as we believe, can be the front porch to the university. We need to be a partner. We're not working against them. And I will tell you repeatedly that John Christensen, you would be proud of this chancellor. He appreciates athletics. He likes it. He's worked with me extremely well, and he's allowed me to do what I thought we should do. He's challenged me. He's held me accountable. But he understands our value, and he's a great, great partner. So together we think we can do great things. I think athletics can bring some notoriety, hopefully in a positive way, for UNO as an athletic, as a university. And together we think that we can raise the profile. Obviously, the attempt is to raise the profile of the incoming applicants of general students. Last thing I'll leave you with before we ask questions is, if you ever wonder about the value of athletics, we just won an award from the MIAA, which is the conference we participate in at the Division II level, for the greatest differential of GPAs between student-athlete population and general student population. We dramatically beat the general student population at UNO in GPAs, our student-athletes do. So I gave it to the chancellor. I said, you might want to put this in your office, and you got a ways to go. Obviously, that was tongue-in-cheek. And he smiled. So there's probably more to that story, but anyway. So with that, why don't I allow you to ask some questions? I'll ask Gary to.
As I said, there is paper and pencil at your table, so if you've got questions, please write them down, and they will be brought to me. Fundraising, pretty important. I know it's early in your administration, but have you heard? I mean, you hired Dean Blais. Have you heard from UNO boosters? Who may have been sitting back wondering if they want to donate to UNO Athletics?
I have, and it's been very positive. As I said before, not only is our community expecting excellence and demand excellence, but our supporters demand excellence. They demand efforts at excellence. Nobody that I've run into is interested in the status quo. Nobody that I run into said, you know, just get by. Just try to put a Band-Aid on it. People will not participate in that. But if you have a vision for excellence, if you have a vision for success, they want to participate. There's a lot to a vision of excellence. There's a lot more to it than just as easy as it sounds. There's certainly a lot of issues that we have to work through. But again, it's our job to find our niche and our place, and then enhance it. Fight for our place, fight for our niche. At the same time, where that exactly is largely, I think, at the moment undefined, but every day gets a little bit clearer. So we've had great response from our boosters. I have one of the most exciting meetings I could ever imagine coming up at 2 o'clock today. And I'm not name dropping, but you should know this. There has not been one single person in this town who have said, I don't want to meet with him. Not one. There hasn't been anybody we've called, and we've called everybody. And they're interested in UNO, and they care about UNO, and they like UNO. They want UNO to succeed. They want to see us do well. They really do. They'd like a plan. They'd like a vision for excellence. So what complicates things is when Bruce can just have a consultant come in and do the study, we got to be more creative. I don't have any money to hire a consultant to do a study. So that's how we can partner with the university. You know, Bill Swanson, the executive MBA program, as part of their program, they have their students do a study on what sort of impact does athletics have on the university as a whole. Why wouldn't we do that? I hope the numbers come back in our favor. If they don't, we're not telling any about it. They'll know they're rigged if they don't, because I just know we have value. I know we have value.
There's been several questions here about Division I, Division II. I'm going to try and put some of them together. Any thoughts on UNO football going Division I? How long before UNO in general switches to Division I? Except for hockey, UNO is a Division II sports school. Can you make people care about Division II sports?
Good question. Division I, what is that? Is it Division I? I think it's part of the process of trying to define who we are. And I will say that the Division II, and the Chancellor and I have had honest conversations about this, the Division II of 1985 is not the Division II of today, okay? The Division II was of excellence. The NCC Conference, there was a commitment, okay, of excellence. As you might imagine, the pressures from the way it is now in terms of increased tuition cost and decreased state support, the Division II model is problematic. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out that that model doesn't look like it's going to get a lot better anytime soon. I don't envision the day ever where you say, oh, good, tuition's way back down and state support's way back up. I don't see that on the horizon. If it was... So you can understand what we did. And it was a brilliant move by Del Weber and Don Leahy. So you've got this gap of money it costs to fund Division II athletic departments, about $8 million. You start a Division I hockey program so that you alleviate some of that, right? And you make the money and everything's going swimmingly, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, whoever's to blame, I don't know, you don't make that. So now there's this gap. You still make some, but there's the gap, okay? The point is, that's not a budget deficit. We will be reframing our conversations with regards to increased university support. It's not a budget deficit. So we won't tell the community anymore that we're incompetent and we don't work hard and we're running budget deficits. We're not running budget deficits. A budget deficit is when you get a budget, a reasonable budget, and then you don't make it. And whatever the difference is, that's a budget deficit. So we've been telling this community for how long now that fiscally, we're irresponsible. We don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing, okay? It's just that because we haven't made as much money in hockey, we've needed increased university support. That's not a budget deficit. So our goal is not to reduce a budget deficit. Our goal is to reduce university support. We have a budget of increased university support starting fiscal year July 1. We can make it. We're going to make it. Well, I promise you we're going to make it. And we're not cutting programs. The beautiful thing about UNO right now is we are so lean. What a great time to be lean. I'm telling you. I mean, we're all doing about 7 jobs. Okay? But the chancellor committed to me no cuts, and there are no cuts. So when other people are cutting, we're not cutting. We're lean and it's good, and we're well positioned. So you asked about Division One. I did a lot of talking without even mentioning it. Our question is, what is our peer group? How do we define what our peer group is and should be? I think that the Division II of yesteryear is really Division I AA now. Are we losing kids because we can't offer the culture of excellence they can because they're Division I AA? I don't know. Could Nebraska support a Division I AA? I don't know. Is that in the best interest of our program? I don't know. But it's now time to do that study. It's now time to look comprehensively at how, not only, you know, on a micro level, we looked comprehensively, how do we do business with regard to hockey? And I think now it's time to do a comprehensive view with how we do business with regards to our athletic department, okay? I'm not interested in Band-Aids. I'm not interested in short-term. I'm interested in solutions. I'm interested in finding if there is a solution out there. There may not be a solution. I don't want to go into any thought process of having said, this is what we're going to do. Let's let some numbers show us what we ought to do. I don't know what there's a lot of different models out there. I mean, for instance, Drake is Division I AA across the board, division, and in football, but it's non-scholarship. There's Division III. There's NAIA. There's Division I. There's BCS Division I. I mean, so I don't know what those numbers are. I don't know what the research would show, but I do think that we ought to take a comprehensive look at where UNO fits within the landscape of athletics in the state of Nebraska. I don't know what it is. But instead of saying we ought to be doing this or not doing that, I will tell you this. Some people think we should go Division III. It will actually cost us more money to go to Division III. That's not the answer. Division III, you lose your state support. So now the university doesn't even get the state support. So you really, in my mind, it's status quo Division II and hope that, well, just so you know, there are things happening in Division II. For instance, they haven't done it yet, but they've proposed to cut spring football. They've already cut two games from our volleyball program, two games from our soccer program. So, you know, they're realizing from their member institutions that we can't fund these schools anymore. I mean, it's killing us. So they're cutting. So do you want to be a part of the cutting process or do you want to be part of the growing process? You know, it's way overused, but you never stay the same. If you've ever worked out in your life, you're either getting in better shape or you're falling out of shape. And I've been falling out of shape for 10 weeks, I promise you. So I don't know what that answer is. I don't want to say that we got to go Division I because I think that's short-sighted and that we're not thinking that way anymore. We've made decisions in the past based on convenience, and now we're going to make decisions based on what's right. And we're going to have people help us find out what's right. And if we don't want to step on anybody's toes, but if it, you know, hurts the baby toe a little bit, then that's okay too. So,
a lot of questions about facilities, and I'll start with this one. Are there any plans to remodel/expand Al Coniglia Field? Is there an update on the possibility of a new scoreboard for the facility?
They score so much, they can't. Does it not go past 100? Is that what? Yeah, Pat's been all over me about Daktronics and getting this replay screen. I think the process has to start first with where our place is. Before we would do anything, we would want to know what's our future, what are we doing. You know, if it's status quo, I don't know that you really need to do much. Last time, at least I don't think we're overselling Coniglia Field in our home football games. So there's space. There's a lot of things that we can do differently. I think if you come to our football games, you're going to notice complete difference, okay? We're trying to get people to come. We're partnering with the firemen and the police officers, and we're making it a family atmosphere. There's a fine line between devaluing your product and promoting it. And, you know, I will tell you that we may make mistakes, but we're trying hard to do this thing where we're getting excitement, getting people out, getting kids, if they want to see a fire truck and be part of that. They may not watch any of the football game, fine. Let dad watch or mom watch, but make this a family atmosphere. Have jumpies, be grilling, have a band, you know. Let me tell you something. It cost $80 to get season tickets for UNO football. That's one game down in Lincoln. So if you want to have fun and you want to save some money and you don't have to worry about 80,000 people coming in, I don't want you to stop supporting Lincoln, I promise you. But if you're not going down there and you don't know what to do, we're a great value. We're a great value.
And it's fun.
And it's
fun.
That's right. And Pat and his staff have been working so hard. We had, for the first time ever, they brought in juniors who are going to be seniors, and we did a whole recruiting day, unofficial visit. Barney Cotton was there. His son, we're recruiting his son. We're recruiting kids who are getting letters from, we don't care, we're going after them. Point is, we're starting early, and we're raising expectations, we're building this culture of excellence, and we're trying to get indoors quickly. And I'm selling mothers on this is a life's decision. You know, we're selling Omaha. The best thing we have is Omaha. There isn't a community like this in the world. If you've just been in Omaha, then maybe you don't even understand how fortunate we are here. This place is unbelievable. Quality of life, the exposure, Fortune 500 companies. I mean, it's a dream. So if you have a culture of excellence, kids will never not pay. Where would you rather be? Omaha or – I better stop there.
Realistically, what are the chances for an arena on the UNO campus? What would it look like? What would it mean to the UNO sports program?
Well, I would assume it would be somewhat round. I've seen square ones. I was just in Fremont, and their YMCA has an ice rink. And that just dawned on me, like, if Fremont and the YMCA can have an ice facility, why can't we? I think it's obviously would it be what I'd like to do? Sure. I mean, more importantly than anything about downtown or the Quest or the Civic, I'm a big believer in the campus identifier. You know, I love the fact that when you go on campus, that's where UNO stuff is. You know, where if you're a kid, if you're a student, you walk out of the dorm, you walk over to the football stuff, or you walk over to the hockey, or you walk over to the baseball, softball. So to me, beyond just the financials of it, I think it's the, you know, it's the identifier for the campus. And, what's the first thing you see when you go downtown Lincoln, right? I think that's an important part of it. You know, it's a huge process. I don't know. This has been in the papers, but we've chosen to try to make the Mecca thing work. We respect Mecca. We think they are great business folks. But they hold us accountable. We need to hold them accountable. You know, they're winning, we're losing. So we need to find a way to both win. That's what a partnership is. And they've been open, and they've been helpful. I don't want to be small-minded and think, you know, I mean, what if we get 13,000 folks a game? I'd be kind of mad if we gave up 5,000 seats every game. You know, you never know what's going to happen. So I think we just don't quite know. We're reasserting ourselves everywhere. And so instead of saying this won't work, we're trying this year to do everything right and see what happens. So then we can say, hey, look, we've done everything. And we need a solution here. I mean, but I got the list. 6th in the nation in attendance, 37% capacity. That's tough. So there's some solutions there we're working through. But would an on-campus ice facility be it'd be pretty nice. But you know, when I met with Bruce and he talked about their new facility, the O&Ms are pretty tough. Operating and maintenance, you know. If you don't have other things going on there, you're never going to have an ice facility where you have 22 hockey games and then that's it. Do it. Fortunately for us, of course, you could do men's and women's basketball and volleyball and wrestling, and it could really be a home. But we're into partnerships, you know. So we feel like we need to be that community team. That's what we have right now at SAP Fieldhouse. Every day I go in there, there's constantly people coming in. Volleyball camps, kids. That's who we have to be as Omaha's team. That's our story. That's what we are. And
which sports program do you think is going to be the biggest surprise this year?
It better be hockey. You know, I said to Dean, because I think this system is going to be so new, I said, Dean, I I could easily see us starting like 2-9, you know, and because that's what happened last year with his team. He started this new team. They started 2-8, and then they ended up at the end. It's important when you're doing well in February, right? And so I said, Coach, I could see us starting. He goes, we better not start 2-8. So I don't know. You know, it's just so new to me. All of our programs compete at the highest level. It wouldn't be a surprise if, I mean, Tim Nelson won the MIAA coach. Steve Smith, Tim Nelson's our golf coach. He won the MIAA coach of the year for women's golf. Steve Smith won the MIAA coach of the year for women's cross country and track. So we don't have a single coach who doesn't win. So it wouldn't surprise me at all that they continue to be extremely successful. That's the beauty of it, is if we just get out of their way and try to help provide them resources to compete. And you should know that they're doing this. For instance, Patty Patton Shear, our women's basketball coach, and Darren Hansen, we don't even have as many coaches as you're allowed. Well, all of our competitors have a head coach and two assistants and two GAs. We have a head coach and assistant, and I just got private funding for a GA for them. So when we go to the MIAA, you know, you got all these teams and they stroll in with all their coaches and their band and their blah, 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 and here comes the UNO. But we win. You know, we win. So that's pretty cool. The other thing I want to say real quick, I didn't say in there, when I talked about having a vision of outcomes and a culture of excellence and leadership, the other thing we're going to do, we don't have to do much different than we're already doing, but we're not telling people. We're a national leader in women's athletics. Connie Clausen, the Women's Walk. There are a lot of programs that have women's athletics merely to, you know, Title IX, you know, be compliant, right? We don't look at it that way. We have a long history and tradition and culture of outstanding women's athletics. And we think this community loves women's athletics and supports it. So we take it very, very seriously, and we're looking for ways to enhance our female student-athlete experience.
Some of these I'm not aware of, but what is the status of the One Fund, and what is it?
One Fund. We're going to name it. I don't know. We're working on it. You know, the idea is we have – again, I think it went back to this whole idea where all the coaches were sort of running their own individual athletic departments, fundraising for themselves. And so you have 19,000 different booster clubs. Let's have UNO Athletics. There's a potential you might get 15 different calls. Potential you might get 15 different calls for $500 or $1,000. And can you imagine how you feel when every single time you just keep getting these calls? And so the idea is to bring them all under one umbrella, not taking away the ability for you to dictate, hey, I want this money going to Rose and women's volleyball. That's fine. But the idea is to have a one fund or whatever it's called, where it's a one ask, one and done. You know, I get solicited, I promise you. There's nothing more irritating than five different people sort of on the periphery attached to the same organization calling you. I mean, if I was somebody, in, like some of these folks in the community, if the Med Center and, you know, the foundation and then UNO and then UNO Athletics, if they were all calling me, that would really irritate me, you know. I want to support this, or I, you know. So that's the idea. And the coaches, you know, it takes time for buy-in. But we've come close to that. Quite frankly, it's one of those things where we know we have to do it. We can do it. It's just, I just haven't got to it. So it'll happen.
This questioner says, I heard a rumor that the NCAA may drop Division II wrestling. Is that true? If so, what happens to UNO wrestling?
That'd be the first I've heard of it. Of course, I'm not in the office much. You know, I don't know. I think the wrestling is under pressure. I think that Division II wrestling is actually growing, from what I understood. There were a good number of programs still competing at the Division II level. Coach Denny's done such a remarkable job. I think it's all same part of that process and rumor mill of it's tough to do. It's tough to fund. It's tough to, you know. So you're out fundraising just for lights. Just for operating expenses. So what we're interested in is finding, is there a model out there that we can be self-sustaining? You don't make money in athletics. It's not meant – I mean, there's seven Division I schools. Nebraska happens to be one, Texas. They actually make money. For instance, Nebraska gives back the academic side $1 million to $2 million a year. Texas gives back the academic, gives them $3 million a year, and probably could give them more, but, you know, they still do. It's not a model that's set up to make money, but we need to find a model that allows us to at least, you know, not need additional university support. And we think that potentially is out there.
You yourself talked about experience, and what area do you think is still your weakest from an experience standpoint, given that you have not had an experience in administration as far as college athletics is concerned? What do you feel like you need to keep working on, learning more about, that kind of thing?
I've got it all figured out. There's so many things I couldn't even list them. You know, continuing to deal with people and understanding personalities, that's always a challenge. Realizing that people have real lives. Kids are sick. They're irritated and tired and irritable when I walk in the office. There's natural personality problems between certain staff members that you're working through. But those are by and large not an issue for us. Our folks are just good folks. I think the technical point of it of the administrative side is stuff that, you know, you're still needing. Get out in the community, and you know, we need to find help. So that process is going to happen, but just the administrative stuff, the strict administrative stuff in terms of budgets and all those things, I'm in every meeting. But that's the beauty of it. It's not, I don't, no athletic director does all that. You have a business and finance person. Ours is Ann Oatman. She's terrific. She's from Iowa. Hard worker. And she works with Epley. She works with Julie Totten. She works with Bill Conley. And, you know, but what we didn't do in the past, which I think is a strength of mine, is we didn't communicate. We never communicated. So our coaches, you know, would be over their budgets. We are literally all the time explaining to them, you know, there's accountability. We've just saved $20,000 in our equipment room, training room. Because we hadn't done, we weren't even getting competitive bids. We just, you know, it's not our money. It's your money. We need to be good stewards of it. Everything we do, competitive bids. So $20,000 there. So just more accountability, more transparency, working harder, gaining the confidence of the coaches so they allow you actually, you know, and demanding that you are going to do that. And they've been receptive to it because actually they're like, wow, this is great. I can just go back to coaching, you know. So that's all part of it. But I would say just the administrative part of it is, you know, you depend on your strengths and you try to you enhance your strengths and then you try to work on your weaknesses. But it's really not that hard. Any of you could do it.
Kind of along those same lines, how do you think your broadcasting and media experience has prepared you for what has certainly a high-profile role?
You know, it's what's funny about it is I think it was perfect because I had a chance to get out, see athletic departments, interact with athletic directors. I have a lot of friends that I've called already, I've known for years. I've done work with on the broadcasting side. I've observed them. I've watched them. I can ask questions. I can lean on them. So I've seen a lot of different athletic departments operate, how they work. That's part of it. I think the communication part is part of it. And you know what? If people are willing to meet with me just because I played football in Nebraska, great. I think it's great. Now, I know that you have to have some substance, and you better be able to, and I'll work on that. We'll make sure we have that. So if we use that leverage, I mean, great. If there are people we're getting into now that we wouldn't have if that wasn't the case, and you know, so I think it's enhanced the experience, and I think it's been a good thing, mostly because of my experience in seeing how other athletic departments work. I see what works, what doesn't work. You know, the type of style of athletic director doesn't work: standoffish, not part of the community, not willing to interact, not willing to communicate. That doesn't work. I know Nebraska. I know the Midwest. And sitting in your office with the door shut, administrating, it's not what we need.
What about the future of women's sports at UNO? What do you see there?
Well, as I mentioned, we're committed to it, and I think it's something that can be our real focal and vision for us. I think this community appreciates it. I don't think that anybody, you know, again, trying to find your niche, grab onto something. I don't see anybody else proclaiming to be a national leader in women's athletics. Why wouldn't we be? I have two daughters. Really, I mean, she's over at the UNO soccer camp right now, so I'm pretty excited about the opportunities that are going to be in front of her one day, hopefully, for mom and dad's sake. When I was playing football at Nebraska, Title IX wasn't something I was too concerned about, but I can tell you now I am. I'm a big proponent of it. But, you know, you can't go through the motions. And I will just tell you, we've done tangible things. We've had to move some offices around. With Dean and Mike still there, we had to move some folks around. Well, Darren, our men's basketball coach, wanted to move over to the other side because the gym's over there. And we would not allow Darren to move over unless Patty could move. We are not treating anybody differently. We are going, you know, if we're doing something for the men's athletics, we're going to do it for our female students as well. Now, here's the rub a little bit. Men's hockey is different. And it isn't a male or female thing. It's a Division I thing. We cannot treat our Division I program like a Division II program. And but everybody understands that, and the coaches have been great about that. So there are more resources in hockey. They have better thing. They have, you know, but it isn't a Title IX thing so much as it is their Division I. It's a different deal. When a head coach makes $250,000, it's accountability. You can get it done, he'll be gone. Division II doesn't mean you wouldn't fire somebody, but it's just a different game. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we have expectations. We'd like our coaches to compete at the highest level, but if Pat Burns goes 6-5, are we really going to fire him? I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's just it's a different model completely. So it's a challenge when you have these two very distinct models, and I think it's my job and our staff's job to keep focused on making sure that Division I is different than Division II. And it isn't that they're better. It's just it's a different model, different culture.
What about where fans are going to be able to see and hear various sports from UNO? This particular person asked this question. I thought maybe we could broaden it. How many of UNO's sports games will be broadcast on UNO? And the person mentions football, basketball, hockey, baseball, volleyball.
Have you ever heard a broadcast of the swimming? It's really cool. We're really excited about the partnership with KVNO, and it's a process that we're going to have to work through a little bit. And, you know, for instance, my wife called the office, and for some reason, I don't put on hold or something, and there was classical music playing, and we got to change that. We're the athletic department. We got to have the call of some great touchdowns, or, you know, you ought to hear it, right? So that's all part of a process, and part of it is that KVNO now has a much broader reach for us. I will tell you that the partnership will not be perfect day one because they're learning about us and we're learning about their unique needs. But we're committed to working through this thing. I have a meeting with Gail, the dean over there, here in a week or two. And so I think the broader reach is important. We want people to be able to hear it. We're starting with hockey and football, and I think basketball is on the docket. But it's one of those deals where we need to prove we can do this first before we jump in too far. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Like if you open up certain magazines and there's a KVNO advertisement and it says, you know, Omaha's classical music, well, that's great. But we need to start promoting the fact that UNO Athletics is on there, you know. So part of that is we don't do those promotions. They do that. So and that's what we're working through. But I think it's going to be good. And, you know, I know we'll fight a little bit the stereotype of, well, it's a classical station, they don't know anything about sports, and they're not going to do it. Well, that might, you know, we might have to work through that. But it hasn't seemed to dampen the enthusiasm from the ESPN 1620. Two of our MAV road shows are going to be carried live on the radio. So people, they're excited, and they I see another thing on the media, we've been working with Fox Sports Net out of Kansas City. There's a potential that all of our Friday night hockey games will be on regional television on Fox Sports Net. Working with KETV a little bit, we'd like to have a local partner. What channel is Creighton Basketball on? Action 3. Everybody knows it, right? I'd like – what channel's UNO Hockey on? I'd like you to be able to say whatever it is. So, you know, I'll go host the thing myself. Might be the worst we've ever done. But so we're working with some of the local things. I mean, it's all a process, you know, again. So.
We have time for one more question. How important are volunteers to the success of the programs at UNO? If people want to get involved with athletics, how can they do it?
We're all volunteering, essentially. No. I think the greatest thing you could do as a volunteer is just come to a game, whatever it is you like. First of all, it isn't so much about money or, you know, but the kids just – love it when people come support them. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. They just love to see people there. They're working so hard in the classroom and on the field, and it, you know, when people are there, I'll just be honest with you, and when I was at Nebraska playing football, my mom and dad never missed a game. They missed one game, and that's when we played in Tokyo, Japan. And I it was a little too much of me to ask them to fly over there. But when I got to the NFL, you know, it was the NFL, and it was further away, and, you know, it was kind of done with that. They would go to a game or two a year. A little different. Mom and dad weren't in the stands, you know. Now, I know you're not mom and dads, but the point is when people are supporting you, when they're in the stands, it is an enjoyable experience as a student-athlete. And so if you buy a ticket, you're a booster. You're a donor, and you're a valued donor. One of the things that we can win two ways, customer service and effort. And those don't cost any money. Some things will fall through the crack. I mean, I still got my marketing department meeting with my ticketing office, and there's 2.5 people because we've been able to get someone else. But we just, you know, but we're trying to be smarter about how we line ourselves up. So there's always somebody there. We've moved a secretary down. We're always going to have a body there. So we're trying to win on effort and customer service, and we can control that. So thank you all. Very much.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. We've heard a talk by University of Nebraska at Omaha Athletic Director Trev Alberts. The topic of his talk was the future of UNO athletics. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, July 16th, 2009, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next forum will be held Thursday, September 17th at 12 noon. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.